Everyone knew he was going to be her husband, but the formalities were important. And Thyra sat between her mother and father as Anwend promised Ragnar that he would love, cherish and protect Thyra, and then proposed a bride price of 20 pieces of silver, which was much too high, but which I suppose meant he really loved Thyra. "Make it 10, Anwend," Ragnar said, generous as ever, "and spend the rest on a new coat."
20 is good, Sigrid said firmly, for the bride price, though given to Ragnar, would become Thyra's property once she was married.
"Then have Thyra give you a new coat," Ragnar said, taking the money. And then he embraced Anwend. And there was a feast, and Ragnar was happier that night than he had been since Rorik's death. Thyra watched the dancing, sometimes blushing as she met Anwend's eyes. Anwend's 6 friends, all warriors of Ragnar, would come back with him for the wedding, and they would be the men who would watch Anwend take Thyra to his bed, and only when they reported that she was a proper woman would the marriage be deemed to have taken place. But those ceremonies would have to wait until Yule. Thyra would be wedded then. We would have our feast. The winter would be endured. We would go to war. In other words, we thought the world would go on as it ever did. And at the foot of Yggdrasil, the Tree of Life, the 3 spinners mocked us. I spent many Christmases at the West Saxon court. Christmas is Yule with religion, and the West Saxons managed to spoil the midwinter feast with chanting monks, droning priests, and savagely long sermons. Yule is supposed to be a celebration and a consolation, a moment of warm brightness in the heart of winter, a time to eat because you know that the lean times are coming when food will be scarce and ice locks the land, and a time to be happy and get drunk and behave irresponsibly and wake up the next morning wondering if you will ever feel well again. But the West Saxons handed the feast to the priests, who made it as joyous as a funeral. I have never really understood why people think religion has a place in the midwinter feast, though of course the Danes remembered their gods at that time and sacrificed to them, but they also believed Odin, Thor and the other gods were all feasting in Asgard and had no wish to spoil the feasts in Midgard, our world. That seems sensible. But I have learned that most Christians are fearfully suspicious of enjoyment, and Yule offered far too much of that for their taste. Some folk in Wessex knew how to celebrate it, and I always did my best. But if Alfred was anywhere close, then you could be sure that we were required to fast, pray, and repent through the whole 12 days of Christmas. Which is all by way of saying that the Yule feast where Thyra would be married was to be the greatest in Danish memory. We worked hard as it approached. We kept more animals alive than usual, and slaughtered them just before the feast so that their meat would not need to be salted, and we dug great pits where the pigs and cows would be cooked on huge gridirons that Eldwulf made. He grumbled about it, saying that forging cooking implements took him away from his real work. But he secretly enjoyed it, because he loved his food. As well as pork and beef, we planned to have herring, salmon, mutton, pike, freshly baked bread, cheese, ale, mead, and best of all, the puddings that were made by stuffing sheep intestines with blood, offal oats, horseradish, wild garlic and juniper berries. I loved those puddings, and still do, all crisp on the outside but bursting with warm blood when you bite into them. I remember Alfred grimacing with distaste as I ate one, and as the bloody juices ran into my beard. But then he was sucking on a boiled leek at the time. We planned sports and games. The lake in the heart of the valley had frozen, and I was fascinated by the way the Danes strapped bones to their feet and glided on the ice, a pastime that lasted until the ice broke and a young man drowned. But Ragnar reckoned the lake would be hard frozen again after Yule, and I was determined to learn the skill of ice gliding. For the moment, though, Breda and I were still making charcoal for Eldwulf, who had decided to make Ragnar a sword, the finest he had ever made, and we were charged with turning 2 wagon loads of alder wood into the best possible fuel.